Good morning and a very warm welcome to you as we gather together for our worship on this Sunday. I pray that as we share together, you would be blessed through scripture, through our singing, and through our worship. And so we begin our worship as we sing together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. You are one with us. So we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, you have come to us. You are one with us. As we worship together, Lord, we have the sense that you are present wherever we are. Assure us of your presence. Make your presence felt. As we sense you and your spirit through scripture reading and through our singing and through this medium of being able to hear your word. And so we do pray, Lord, your blessing upon this next half hour or so, asking that as your Spirit leads us and challenges us, we again, through the strength of your Spirit, would respond to your call as we respond to your message. We recognize, Lord, that even as we gather together, we might not have always done the right things, said the right things, thought the right things. And in so many ways, we have neglected our faith. We have neglected our relationships with you. We've neglected our relationships with others. And Lord, we are guilty of those things. So we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for all our sins. Those things that separate us from you and from others. Those things that so easily build barriers and prevent good communication and good relationships. Lord, you know our sin, and so we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for all those things that separate and destroy. May your mercy and your grace come and break down barriers, heal rifts, and heal us. We are sorry, Lord, so we ask that you would forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love. Praying too, Lord, in response to that, we would repent of those things that have separated and destroyed. We would turn our backs on them and do all in our power, and again with the gift of your Spirit, Lord, to build and restore and not to sin again. Thank you, Lord, for your gift of mercy and grace. And so we share together in the prayer that you have taught us, saying together,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
What do you think is the moral to this following modern-day parable? There was once a man who had two sons. When they came of age, they left home to go and seek their fortunes to make a living. They travelled far and wide and eventually settled in a city not far from home, but not far from each other either. The one brother was very good with money. He had a real business mind. What he put his mind to, he inevitably turned into success. The result being that it wasn't long before he'd earned himself a fair package. And because he had money, he was able to easily make more money, especially with his acumen of business workings. Soon he became very wealthy. And you can imagine what wealth brings. Possessions, houses, lavish lifestyle, all sorts of additions and add-ons that he could want, cars, who knows? But he became very wealthy. The other brother didn't quite have the business acumen of his brother, but he was very artistic. He was good at painting and carving. He was really good with his hands and very practical in his outlook. He was very happy. He made enough money to live by, but by no means could be compared to have the things that his brother had. The sad thing is that as the rich brother began to get more and more rich, he became more embarrassed about his poor brother. He made excuses not to see him. Well, he lived in the wrong area. He had the wrong friends. It wasn't socially acceptable to have somebody of his status mingling with the socialites that the elder brother mingled with. And as time passed, it got worse and worse. The rift got wider and wider. Eventually, they never spoke, never saw each other. The younger brother moving from house to house, depending on the means he was getting. The elder brother moving from house to house whenever he bought something new, something bigger. And so as they never saw each other, the older brother got richer and richer. The younger brother struggled along. One day, the father came to visit, and he chose to go and stay with the poorer younger brother. In fact, he didn't even let the older brother know that he was coming to town. When the rich brother heard that his father was in town and had not contacted him, he became angry and upset. Why, he thought, why would he want to stay with my younger brother? I had more to offer. I had a better house, a bigger house, more lavish house. I had servants who could meet his every need and wait upon him. Why did his father choose to stay with his poor brother? Why did his father not tell him he was coming to town? And so he began to track his father down. He didn't know where his younger brother lived, and so it took some effort, but he had the means. And it wasn't long before he was able to find out where he was. And so when he found them, he approached them and said to his father, Why didn't you come and stay with me? I've got better everything. I've got a house and servants who could wait on you hand and foot. And the father responded and said, But you're not my son. And the rich son said, I must be your son because you are my father. And the father said, You are not my son, and I am not your father. The rich son said, But I must be your son. If this is my brother, then I must be your son, and you must be my father. And the father said, when you treat your brother like a brother, then I will treat you like a son. But until then, you are not my son. What do you think is the moral to the story? What do you think is the message we need to take away from that story? With that as a backdrop, let's turn to our readings for today as they come to us from Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Do not deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. You will reap exactly what you plant. If you plant in the field of your natural desires, from it you will gather a harvest of death. If you plant in the field of the Spirit, from the Spirit you will gather the harvest of eternal life. So let us not become tired of doing good. For if we do not give up the time, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. So then, as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone, and especially to those who belong to our family in the faith. May God bless his reading to us in his name. Amen. Just want to give a little bit of a recap on the journey we've been on over the past two Sundays. Two Sundays ago, our theme was, what does God want from you? In that sermon and in that service, we looked at the fact that God is growing fruit and we need to grow good, healthy fruit in our lives. And the way we grow good, healthy fruit is by reaching out to others, by helping, caring, giving, sharing, walking with, praying with, meeting the needs, serving those around us as we grow community and grow relationships. Last Sunday, we followed on from with the theme of the way that we need to do it. And we spoke about planting seeds one person at a time, one action at a time. And that as we plant, we will reap what we plant. But sometimes we reap where other people have sown, and others will reap where we have sown. But in every moment, we need to feed the love of Jesus into other people's lives. And so as we reach out by feeding the love of Jesus into other people's lives, so that's how we do what God wants us to do. Today I hope to draw those two sermons, if you like, and put them into some sort of takeaway package. And so we read from Galatians chapter 6, and I'd like to read that same passage again, but this time from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message. So hear these words from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Our acts of giving and planting, of sowing the love of Jesus into other people's lives, is never wasted. Those are not pebbles that we throw into a pond and the ripples just move out and eventually disappear. No, those are temporary ripples. when we plant a seed, when we sow the love of Jesus into somebody else's life, that seed is planted in the soil of life that will one day bear fruit. The harvest is inevitable. Note verse 7. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, they will harvest. And we do this as we plant into other people's lives, but also as we plant into our own lives. Every decision is a seed. Every attitude is a seed. Every act is a seed. Prayers are seed. Thoughts are seed. And all of it will one day come to harvest. In other people's lives, as we reach out. In our lives, as we keep planting. And we have to keep doing it. But we also need to remember that as much as we plant seeds, it takes time to grow. Eugene Peterson said, the person who looks for quick results from planting seeds of well-doing will be disappointed. If we want an apple for lunch tomorrow, it will do us no good to plant an apple seed tonight. The growing of seed, the harvesting of seed, takes time. There are long stretches of darkness, of silence, of struggle, of invisibility that separate planting and harvesting. And during those stretches that separate planting and harvesting, we need to make sure that we keep weeding, nurturing, watering, and still planting other seeds. The task of planting is endless, and sometimes it's tiring, but we need to keep at it. There appears to be little reward and appreciation for our planting, but that means we still need to keep at it. We continue. We must continue. As Paul says in verse 9, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Don't give up. Paul would say in other passages, persevere. Keep up, run the race to the end. Keep planting the seeds. God calls us to love one another. And as we reach out, as we plant seeds, as we grow healthy fruit, we need to know that we need to keep doing good, keep planting the seeds, because the harvest is inevitable. It will come, but it takes time. By our love for one another, others will know that we are Christ followers. It was Jesus' words who said that. And they will know we are Christians by our love. Let's keep doing all that we're doing. Let's keep planting those seeds. Let's keep looking for the harvest. Let's not get tired of doing good. Let us pray. Father God, the call is very clear. You call us to work within your kingdom. You call us, Lord, to feed the love of Jesus into other people's lives. You call us, Lord, in every action, in every thought, in every word, as we plant into other people's lives, so we plant into our own lives. And the harvest is inevitable. So, Lord, help us to plant well. Give us strength to keep planting. And as we plant, may we be ever vigilant for the harvest in your kingdom. Lead us, guide us, and be with us, we pray. Amen. And so we sing together a song that I believe in many ways wraps this up. Make me a channel of your peace. As we bring all that we are, may we be seed planters through our actions and our words. Lord, make us a channel of your peace. We sing together.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. Where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. To all men that we receive, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. Oh, Master God, that I may never sleep, so much to be consoled as to console, to be despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. Where the sadness ever joy. Thank
you again for worshiping with us on this format. We conclude our service as we sing together the benediction, now unto him who is able to keep. God bless and go well.
To the only one.
Savior, be glorified.